Hi, welcome to Holden Village. Today is the 21st of August, 1995. In the fireside room this morning, our speakers are David and Kathleen Hurty, and they will be speaking on Sharing Power, the Art of Relationship. So let's listen in.
I work in a mode of listening to and learning from, as well as bringing, sharing resources with those groups. It's a wondrous post-education vocation, meaning I spent 20 years in public education, in four different school districts in California. I was an elementary school teacher, a staff developer, and a public school principal. In those 20 years. Prior to that, I had some administrative experience, 10 years full-time home administration. I didn't call it that at the time. I learned later to name it that because was one way I could put down some administrative experience when I applied for graduate school. Co-teaching with me this week, but not particularly in this session, is my good colleague, friend, and co-parent of our four children, Dave Hurty.
I'm happy to be with you, and as she indicates, she's going to be the primary source for this particular session. I am currently serving as the house chaplain and director of house operations at Seafarers and International House in New York City, which is our Lutheran Church's ministry with the maritime community. We primarily serve merchant seafarers who come to New York needing housing and other kinds of support. Many times they come for legal assistance, medical assistance. Sometimes they have no place else to go when they're off of a ship. We are their home when they're not on a ship. And so it's kind of a community that's a unique community that gathers at our place there. We also accommodate other kinds of people that come to New York, Germans and Scandinavians and Japanese, and sometimes they are just tourists and sometimes they come because they have some kind of a church connection. I guess you would say we're sort of a hostel, but an adult hostel in New York City. The focus, we would like to move the focus of our place, though, more toward a seminar center, an urban seminar center, where we could have groups that come to New York who would use us for maybe going on art museum tours or theater groups or even theological reflection groups that would like to use New York City as a kind of a focus for that kind of a thing. So it's a unique ministry of our church that not very many Lutherans know about. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the week. Otherwise, before being in New York and being there at that position, in this position, I was a parish pastor in Arizona and California for 30 years. So I bring a different kind of perspective in terms of my background as an educator than my wife.
Welcome to this session, and today our particular focus, and before I mention the focus, hopefully this will be a teaching-learning session, that is a good interactive session. We'll have some stories to share, but you will as well, and the resources for this class are around this circle, and we're glad you're here. The focus is our capacity, and this is a premise with which I began my work with you today, our capacity to relate, to connect with others, is shaped, I believe, by our understandings of power. Let me say that again. Our capacity to relate, to connect with others, I believe, is shaped by our perceptions of or our understandings of power. So the key questions we're going to be talking about, and I'll throw those out to you now, and then we'll come back to them a little later. One of the first key questions is, what is power? And we'll talk about that for a little bit. how do our perceptions of power, our understandings of power, shape our relationships? And how do you live in connection with others? What's the art of that? What are the practical marks of living in connection or living in relationship, whether it's individual relationships, community relationships, congregational relationships, organizational relationships? What are the marks of living in a connected way? So that's kind of the framework of what we hope to do this particular session. I began with several starting points. One is the work of Parker Palmer, and his name has come up, I'm sure, in many discussions. How many of you have read To Know As We Are Known by Parker Palmer? A few of you have. It's a book that, though I have just begun to read it, gives me an aha experience because he gives language to stuff I've thought for a long time, and he gives it beautiful language. Particularly in his introduction to the this particular book, To Know As We Are Known, Education as a Spiritual Journey, his introduction to the paperback version, which is more recent than the original book itself. When it was published in 1980, the paperback came out about 10 years later. So I begin with his view that we are called to wholeness in the middle of our torn world, and we need to deal very, very carefully with the pain of disconnection. The pain of disconnection is a theme he picks up in his work, and he speaks particularly to educators. But in a sense, all of us are educators. Some of us professional educators, but we are together engaged in teaching, learning. Throughout our lives. It's one of the oldest communal acts, you know, teaching and learning. And that's gone on for a long time. So those of you who are not trained, how many of you are trained as professional educators? Several of you are. All of us, in many respects, are also educators because we've taught children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors. We listen to and learn from each other in many, many ways. A second resource came out of the Bible study this morning, John Schramm's Bible study on Philippians, as a place where we can begin to assume common unity. That letter to Paul is rich with understanding of community. And I believe that his concentration this morning, how many of you were in the Bible study, or should I ask? So you know whereof we speak.
I want to see who was. How many
words? The themes there, again, of honoring community and building passionate consensus around ideas of faith and life. This recalls the work of Parker Palmer, whose belief that we move beyond the pain of disconnection to help each other develop the capacity for connectedness. And that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. A third resource is my own research in power, the understanding of the connection between power and leadership. Because I believe that the vocabulary of connectedness is symbolized by many of the particular unique perspectives that women bring to the conversation about power. And so we'll talk about that piece a little bit, and I'll share with you some of the research that I did when I did my graduate work at the University of California at Berkeley in the late 70s and up to the mid 80s, takes a long time, at looking at the way women principals use and talk about power. I was one at the time. It was a focus of research that was handy at hand, and so I'll share a little bit about that a little later. I'm going to ask us, though, to start now with your understandings of power. And we're going to do this in groups of three. John Schramm this morning did this in a clever way. No less than two, no more than four. Or less than two and more than... Whatever you said, John, it was great. Anyway, groups of three. I'd like you to turn around, find another group of three, get yourself started on the question, how would you finish the sentence, power is? Power is. How would you finish that sentence? Share with each other your perceptions. You can take a minute to think about it on your own. Okay, I know that discussion is probably one that could go on and on. I could tell by your animation that there were some interesting conversations going. I'd like you to think for a moment of some of the key words that came up in your conversation and just shout them out, the word or phrase. When you talk about what power is, da 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 da, what key words and phrases come to your mind?
Control. Responsibility.
Keep them coming.
Getting things done.
Wait just a second. As only as fast as I can spell. Responsibility. Okay.
Getting things done.
Getting things done.
Your way.
Amen.
Okay.
Perception. Power is a perception.
Perception. A perception.
Hierarchy.
Priorities?
No, hierarchy.
Hierarchy, okay. I never can remember if that's EI or
I. You're right.
I
before
you.
No, I thought
you were
right. Hierarchy, okay. Okay. Others.
Charisma.
Okay.
Authority. Sometimes knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Science.
And somebody said authority.
Yeah.
There's another one out here. What?
Size.
Size, mass, okay.
Size, okay, i.e. big money.
Just big.
Big, mass.
Just big, whether it's money or otherwise.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I don't know what to label it, but the power of not doing anything, or inaction.
Okay, the power
inertia.
Of inaction. What?
Inertia.
Yeah, okay. Power not to do. Inertia, inaction. Okay. You have the dictionary speed already, but... are there others?
Manipulation.
Liberation.
To enable. Did you use enable?
Okay. Okay, we have together, out of our common wisdom and understanding, developed a very full definition of power. Do all of these things match? No, some of them are almost, in fact, opposites. But are they still power? Have you experienced power in most of those ways at some time or another? What does that tell you about power?
It's very complicated.
It's very complicated, right?
It's neither negative or bad. It's neither good or bad.
Neither good or bad, okay.
It's neutral.
It's a neutral term. It can be used. How it's used is the key, then, so that it can be used negatively or positively.
also it can apply to different situations too, like national power or international power versus in your job or versus maybe as a parent. Different kinds of.
All right, different kinds of power. We might want to name some of those kinds of power. There's national power, that is governmental power. Are
politics.
You thinking of
politics?
Politics or political power.
Military power.
Military power.
Family
power.
Corporation.
Corporate power.
Economic power.
Cold power.
No, that doesn't work.
Definitely cold power. You feel it in the middle of a snowstorm. That may not be what you had in mind.
Cultural
power.
Spiritual power. Emotional power.
Interpersonal power, personal power. All different ways of using power. One of the, or all different kinds of power. We've talked now about those sort of kinds of power and what we might consider power is. Different styles of power, which gets at the question of use as well. If we were to draw a continuum, and on this continuum, put over here the kinds of power that fit with power width, and the kinds of power that fit with power over. This is a part of the range of meaning of power that has become common in our understanding of power socially, both in the United States of America and perhaps globally. Some power lends itself to the control, and usually, interestingly enough, the word control comes up very first in descriptions of power, because we have often thought of power as control. In fact, power and control, or power and some forms of authority, are often equated with each other. If we were to put, for example, control as a power over kind of power, and you can make arguments, interestingly enough, put it somewhere else along this continuum. Let's think about for a moment where some of these words would fit. The distinction between power over and power with is becoming a distinction, I think, developed over these last number of years, certainly been present luckily before, but informed often by people who want to reflectively think of power in terms of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God at work in the world is not a controlling power as much as it is an enabling power. How then in organizations can we have power simply defined in a hierarchical sense as power as control, and allow for the working, the fluid, creative flexibility of the working of the Holy Spirit? So people are struggling with those kinds of questions, and among others are many who are seeing the distinction, beginning to see the distinction in a number of fields. Theology, ethics, certainly feminist thinking. A lot of work has been done on expanding the range of meanings, to use a term of I.A. Richards. Words have a range of meanings, not just one meaning, not just a singular understanding, but understandings of power. So what I hear, particularly women, but not limited to women, are saying today, we need a lot more work on this end of the spectrum. We have more work on this end than on this end. Okay, let's try to match up or put some of these words on the spectrum here. I'll make an arbitrary decision. Yeah. I'll control and put control over here. So things that lean more toward power over will circle in what are some of the words that lean more toward power over or control?
Size does.
Size would.
Manipulation.
Just a second, I want to get the color coding right here. Okay, size, manipulation,
authority.
Hierarchy.
Hierarchy.
Authority.
Money.
Getting things done your way.
Getting things done your way.
Oh, just your way part. All right. Okay, let's think of power with in the other color. Which ones stand out to you as being power with?
Is there a red one? That green is awfully close to the blue.
Yeah, I don't see a red one here, but we'll...
Okay. Make
it a square. So.
I'll do that. That's a good idea. Okay.
Make a square, yeah.
Power with.
Enable.
Charisma.
Enable down here.
There's somebody's raising questions about this. Okay, we'll come back to that. What others?
Perception.
Okay.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Oh, I hear some questions here too. Okay. Liberation, somebody said. What else?
Responsibility.
Responsibility.
Holy Spirit is there.
Holy Spirit.
Well, responsibility can be the other side too, though.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we're finding in our just quick assessment here of these that some would fit sort of in the middle. You know, they could go either way. And again, gets back to how it's used. I would say getting things done used the other way. Well, sometimes it's fun to think about your relationships in relation to this kind of a power over power with continuum. Not that there's one right answer to the question, but because it a lot depends on how you're interpreting, your understanding, your perception of power. But it gives us a different way to think carefully about the expansion of our understandings of power. I'd like to spend just a little time telling you how I got interested in struggling with power. I had a lot of problems with the idea of power. I'm of the generation of the 50s, the college generation of the 50s, when women particularly were socialized, one could say, into a kind of way of thinking that we had some options in our lives, but they were limited. For example, when I graduated from college, the choices I had basically were teaching, nursing, or social work, just in case. And I chose to go into teaching. I have no regrets. I want that made very clear. Education for me has been a lifelong passion and dream and vocation. But at that point in time, our church, we happen to be members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America now, but the predecessor churches didn't ordain women. My father was a pastor. I was married to a pastor. My grandfathers were pastors. I had not even a thought of becoming a pastor. Didn't enter my scope of thinking. Wasn't till later that I became somewhat conscientized to the fact that women could make some other choices. But I was happily ensconced in a... at home with kids, we had four kids, raising those kids, staying at home full time, began to kind of get, after I had taught a year before we were married, so after a while I began to get a little urge to go back to teaching. Dave was going to do some graduate work, so financially it was to my advantage to do some teaching. And got started back in and found I really enjoyed it. And then became more and more aware of the fact that as a teacher in a classroom, schools weren't run with so much of the time with the focus of the kids and learning. Schools were run in a hierarchical fashion. And little attention was paid to the insights of the kids and the teachers who were working with them. And I began to get fussy about that, as one does over time. And later, had the opportunity to work with a group of parents.